Hello, namaste. I welcome you all to the 126th session of Guru Bodha. I cordially welcome all the students to this session, and on behalf of us, all of our students, I cordially welcome Dr. Ashish Rawat to this session. Good evening and namaste, ma'am.
Good evening and namaste to everyone.
I also cordially welcome Dr. Raghuram sir to this session. Good evening and namaste, sir.
Good evening and welcome to everybody. Namaste.
This session is brought to you by easyiweather.com. I dedicate this and all of my works to the holy feet of Dr. H. Chandrasekhar Udupa. Vaidhi Ashish Rawat is a program director of Ananda Ayurveda Academy. She is from BNS and then post-graduation, there is MD Ayurveda in India. Apart from that, she is a nutrition consultant, holistic health practitioner, registered Ayurveda specialist, and board certified in integrative medicine. And also, she's a professor in YU, USA Yoga Institute. Dr. Raghuram sir is chief content officer of easyayurveda.com. For consulting, please visit easyayurveda.com/Raghuram. He has written more than 10 books with Easy Ayurveda. So, World Asthma Day is coming up. So, we thought of covering this particular disease. Due to pollution and due to wrong food habits, junk food, excessive restaurant foods, etc., we have seen a huge increase in the cases of asthma. Worrying cause is especially in the children. It also affects the pregnant mother. There are many facets and angles to it. Allergy can trigger it. Hereditary factors are a big concern, so on and so forth. So with the with pollution going out of control and global warming and many other scenarios surrounding it, we'll cover asthma, and you're free to ask all the questions in the question box. Some of the questions have already come, we will cover them today. So first, to begin with, I will request Dr. Raghuram to kindly explain us about asthma, its Ayurvedic understanding, which doshas are involved, samprati, and so on. Raghuram sir.
Thank you, Dr. Hebbar sir. Namaste, and namaste to Vaidya Ashlesha Rawat madam. So to begin with, so 7th of this month, to create the awareness of asthma, the World Asthma Day is followed on first Tuesday of every May. So as already Hebbar sir gave an introduction, that this is a disease which is like very commonly found in the clinical practice. Many people are concerned, so it doesn't like look for any particular age group or sex to be affected. So it will definitely affect even the children. We have seen suffering from asthma, and it's a big point of concern for the parents, and also we have seen the elders also suffer from asthma. So yeah, so it is in the middle age, so where most of the immunity is playing a good role. Again, not in everybody as a rule. It is that particular part where we can manage. So the child and the old aged patient are always sensitive to handle. So when they have the worst symptoms of asthma. So with this small thing about the World Asthma Day, so let us come to the Ayurvedic aspect of asthma. Basically, it is a disturbance in breathing pattern. So the person finds very difficult to breathe in this particular condition. We call it as shwasa or shwasa krucrata. So shwasa is a generalized word given. Shwasa means the breathing, the intake and output of air. So when the mechanism of input or output or both of the air, so disturbs a person. So when it is there is a mechanical block or something happens where either person can't take air in or put air out, or have a disturbance of both, we call that as shwasa or shwasa krucrata. So krucrata is difficulty. Shwasa means breathing pattern. Difficulty in breathing pattern will be called as shwasa krucrata. It's a generalized word which has been used by Ayurveda for describing shwasa. So basically, it is a pranavaha sroto dushti. So like it is an affliction of pranavaha srotas. There are so many types of srotas: the channels, the ducts, the conveyance system, the pathways in our body. when this pranavaha srotas is affected, when we see through the symptoms of pranavaha srotas and its contamination and its affliction, we can see the symptoms of breathing disorders. So the symptoms also alert us. When we go through the symptoms in depth, they look like the involvement of both the lungs, I mean respiratory field, and also the heart. So because they are closely knitted organs, there is a complete circle of communication between the lungs and heart. So in small proportions, the heart may also be affected. So we can consider the rasavaha sruto dushti also in this condition. When the heart gets afflicted, then there is shwasa. So in some people, when we go through the radiological changes or anything we try to analyze regarding asthma or the shwasa, there may not be some anatomical defigurement. There may not be some disturbances or some blocks or something which is clearly available on a photograph. In such conditions, it can be a case of psychological disorder. So the manovaha srotas and rasavaha srotas are also interrelated, because hrudaya is very common for both. And again, for both these things, the support system is the pranavaha srotas. So since the srotas are interknitted in our system, so one system's affliction can cause the problem with another system. Many times we have seen in a patient of shwasa or a breathing trouble, a simple anulomana or a laxative or a virechana, a course of virechana will definitely help the person to breathe easy. So this shows that there may be a block or a big block happening in the anavaha srotas as well. So in the at the level of stomach, small intestine, colon blocks also can cause an upward pressure, which may present as a shwasa-like syndrome or shwasa-like symptoms can be seen in that particular condition. In spite of giving so many medicines, if the breathing patterns are not getting fine, if the wheezing, if the blocks are not getting cleared, and if the person is continuously suffering from asthma and the asthmatic episodes, so we can also think of the other srotas which I mentioned. Go and scan for the heart, and if the heart is involved, go and just scan for the digestive system and also the constipation. Small things may make a big difference. As I said, a Gandharva Hastadi Kashaya or Gandharva Hastadi Taila given on a regular basis or a Trifala Churna can work in this condition, rather than the direct Vyadihara or the disease specific medications. So this is only to give an idea of the broad spectrum of shwasa kruchrata which can happen. So again, it can happen in conditions like Pandu, so again, which is a raktavaha srota dushti disease. So where raktavaha srotas, the liver and spleen are involved, the hemopoietic system is involved, the blood formation, maturation and transport system of the blood is involved in this particular condition. So we can also see that the patients of anemia also have breathing issues, so which appear like asthma. So the breathing difficulties may necessarily not be asthma. Keeping the scope of this particular session, because we also have the question answer session, and Rawat Madam and Hebbers are also to speak. I'll try to keep as simple as possible here. So this is only to tell that asthma or vis-a-vis when we take it as shwasa can be a broad spectrum thing, not necessarily limited to the breathing apparatus or the respiratory system. So it may be a multi-system disorder or an effect or a sequelae or a complication of the other system or the other channels as well. So coming to the shwasa itself, the shwasa has been divided into five different categories. Number one, Mahashwasa. Number two, Urdhva Shwasa. Number three, Chinna Shwasa. Acharya himself has said that these three types of shwasa cannot be cured, cannot be handled at all. So that means to tell that they fall under the category of difficult to cure or impossible to cure conditions. So between Kashtasadhya, Yapya and Asadhya conditions, very difficult to manage. Probably it was very difficult to manage at the time of Charaka and maybe Sushruta. In later context where we can see in the Lagu, so probably in the Baishaja Ratnavalis and the other textbooks of Rasaushadas, which the field which Hebbar sir and Ashlesha Raut madam are very expertized in, so they can add comments on this. We can also find some formulations which are very, very specific for Urdhva Shwasa, and also Chinnaswasa and Mahashwasa. So where Master Charaka has said that they are not curable, later with the advent of Rasaushadas, like the herbo-mineral combinations and effective treatments with evolution, so probably these diseases are also dealt with properly. So I would not like to touch on those three types. So where there may Maha, Urdhva and Chinnaswasas, which are said Asadhya by Charaka, to an extent are definitely Asadhya even in this particular date. So because there may be multiple system involvement, and very importantly, the lung field and also the mandatory involvement of the heart can be seen. The fifth one will be the Kshudrashwasa. I'll come back to the fourth one. The fifth one will be the Kshudrashwasa. So that is only the exertional dyspnea or difficulty in breathing when you do the exercise or when you run. So when you climb steps continuously and you feel gasping, so rest for a while and it will come down. So if that is also continuous, then we need to monitor that condition and see if there is anemia or any other condition. Without any condition, this is self-limiting condition. And the fourth one is very important, that is the Tamaka Shwasa. So the Tamaka Shwasa, so you can see there, as already Hebbar sir has kept the slides ready there, Tamaka Shwasa can be very closely compared to the asthma or the bronchial asthma, it is called as. Going ahead into the symptoms of Tamaka Shwasa, we can clearly see that it is a pattern of many heart diseases also. For example, I will give Asino Labate Saukhyam, that particular term which is given in Tamaka Shwasa. When the person sits right, as long as the person is sleeping, the person finds it difficult to sleep. When the person sits right, only the person can breathe, not comfortably, but comparably better than in the lying position. This is not only seen in bronchial asthma patient, this is also seen in the patients where heart is involved. For example, a patient of aortic stenosis can have this particular condition, or any other corpulmonale and other heart conditions where the person has to sit right, sip something really hot and ease themselves because there is a severe distress, and only then the condition will settle down a little bit. Maybe it will manifest as a little clinical emergency at times, and it may create panic in the homes where immediate medication may be needed for these particular conditions. So we need to have just check out. So it should not be handled at home with simple remedies. As far as possible, it is okay. But if it is asthma, not only the patient but also the fourth tier of the treatment, Vishak Dravya Upasthata, we call it as, the caretakers at home and the nursing staff at the hospital should be on red alert always. So when this particular condition can present as an emergency, especially when the heart is involved, these things have to be taken care of. And coming to just before the manifestation of Tamaka Shwasa, Acharya Charaka also mentions the word Pinasa. So here the vayu moving in the upward direction in the pathogenesis creates the blocks in the upward channels. And first it produces Pinasa, that is, it produces upper respiratory symptoms. So your cold, common cold, your coryza, your running nose, your stuffy nose can be an alert or alarm that in future you may have, you may become a patient of Shwasa. So if anybody having the upper respiratory conditions, that thing should be tackled first very regularly. So don't neglect a cold or a common cold or a sneeze or a stuffy nose which is there for 2-3 years or it is running chronic. It may also, the story may continue into the lower portion of the respiratory tract and manifest as Shwasakruchita in future. So that is the primary thing which needs to be addressed. So the upper respiratory conditions. So your nose may be the opening door. The nose troubles in the nose may be the opening doors for your asthma or any other conditions in future. So touching upon and coming to the five types of Shwasa once again, Maha, Urdhva and Chinna, incurable. Kshudra Shwasa doesn't need a treatment, and this is Tamaka Shwasa which needs treatment. So wherever in your textbook the treatment of Shwasa has been mentioned, the treatment is only limited to Tamaka Shwasa. That's it. So because the three are incurable and another doesn't need any treatment, so the treatment mentioned in Charaka Samhita, that is Shwasa Chikitsa Adhyaya, is only limited to Tamaka Shwasa. That is the only Shwasa for which we are treating. So again, I said it is a complex manifestation of lung and heart conditions. This Tamaka Shwasa may start, or according to Samprapti of Charaka, will start with the upper respiratory and the nasal troubles that needs to be taken care of. So we also see the patients having coexisting conditions like an upper respiratory and or lower respiratory overlap. So we can have, so in that condition, both these conditions need to be treated. As and when we go ahead, we can also discuss the principles of treatment. This is only an introduction of the disease. And coming to the samprapti pathogenesis, Charaka has explained an elaborate samprapti or the pathogenesis where the vayu moves upwards, create blocks, creates pinasa, and then again the kapha aggravates, that kapha blocks the vayu. So here very important pathogenesis is the kapha blocking the vayu in the breathing passages. That is exactly what asthma also explains. The modern version of asthma also tells there is narrowing of air passages, there is swelling of air passages, and there is excessive production of phlegm in the breathing apparatus or the breathing passages. Exactly the replica of what Ayurveda has explained, the kapha blocking vata. So the primary line of treatment will be to remove the kapha and then do the vatanulomana. And one more thing we need to remember is a detailed explanation of the treatment of tamakashwasa has been given in Charaka stepwise. That is so beautiful to read, stepwise, from where you should start and where you should end. That has been beautifully explained. So including your snehana, swedana, vamana, virechana, and also categorization of the patient as kafadika and also the vatadika. So in there are patients of shwasa who in whom kapha is predominant, and in some patients vata is predominant. The kapha predominant people are comparably stronger. They can tolerate treatments like vamana, virechana, etc. And the people who are vatadika shwasa, so when vata is severe in the shwasa condition, that person can be durbala. So the person will have less strength because of the vata predominance. There will be dhatukshaya. The line of management of both these conditions will differ. So coming to, in short, to the Sushruta's samprapti, yada srutamsi samruddhyaha marutaha kafapurvakaha. Kafapurvaka. The kapha is aggravated and it blocks the vata. So here, Sushruta explains, yada srutamsi, in the srutas, samruddhaha marutaha kapha purvakaha. Kapha first aggravates and then blocks the vayu. Here, Charaka's beautiful explanation is, vayu aggravates, moves upwards, disturbs the kapha unnecessarily and causes trouble to itself. And that kapha blocks the vata. So both are explaining the same in different patterns. Vishwagurajati samruddhas tadashwasan karoti sa. So the vata which is blocked by kapha, we know vata is a freelance thing in the body. It loves to move very freely in the body. When it gets obstructed by the kapha, it struggles to move here and there. That struggling of vata is our breathing problems. Tada shwasan karoti sa. So then it causes a disease or a spectrum of symptoms, so which can be called as shwasa. And this samprapti is particular for tamaka shwasa. Again, putting Maha, Urdhva, Chinna, Tamaka and Kshudra Shwasa, each and every Shwasa has its own samprapti. Pathogenesis has been explained for every disease. Okay, so it takes a different pattern in manifestation, but Sushruta's explanation gives a generalized explanation of what happens in either type of Shwasa. So Charaka has only detailed the samprapti of Tamaka Shwasa, but all five can develop in different patterns. We need to understand how the pattern of each and every shwasa takes place. So this is a brief introduction of shwasa, tamaka shwasa and the dosha involvement, so which can open up our discussion for further discussions. Over to you, Hebar sir.
Thank you, Raghavan sir, for the explanation. Now I would like to invite Vaidyashri to share how to clinically diagnose asthma, considering Ayurvedic principles. How frequent it is in a country like USA, and what are the probable causes that are leading to an increase in the cases of asthma?
Thank you, Dr. Hibbar, and it was wonderful to hear Dr. Raghuram sir's the full flow of the explanation of this. Coming to the today's subject, I wanted to also talk about that in US we have almost 25 to 27 million people suffering from asthma, which is a really a big number, and it's obviously the reasons to be known, you know, in according to WHO, asthma is considered as a non-communicable disease and one of the very major non-communicable disease, which actually occurs at the pediatric level as well as you grow in the aging aspect. So this is something becomes very crucial. Most from the Ayurvedic perspective, I also feel about the asthma is Acharya Charaka has explained that how do you treat the all respiratory disorders, right? So the what we understand as a respiratory disorders as a pranavaha srotas. The treatment of pranavaha srotas, while explaining the treatment of pranavaha srotas, Acharya Charaka says that it is as per the shvasa. So the shvasa's treatment modality is such an important modality that whole generalized treatment when we are talking about respiratory disorders, it points out to the shvasa treatment. And that's why it is a very important disease that one must understand and go further into the chikitsa aspect. So how do we understand, coming to the point of shvasa, as a clinically assess the shvasa, here is the one very important thing which we always should link as Ayurvedic perspective, again for the samprapti, right? Samprapti really explains us to see the chikitsa, I mean to analyze and come to the research discussion of why we should look for those things, a particular sign which has been mentioned in Gurgurtak, which means the wheezing sound, which if we have to give an explanation in the typical wheezing sound, which you can hear without even putting the stethoscope. So that particular wheezing sound is very much important in understanding. Now, before I go to the line of treatment, I want to definitely talk about the examination part of it. Another very important aspect which you would see that in chronic asthmatic people, you would not necessarily hear the wheezing sound, but you could see on their neck the extra what we call it as the upper level of respiration is happening, like quick respiration is pretty much happening, and this is very essential in the treatment line. That's why we have to look at into it. The reason, another third thing which you should look out is about the, of course, the vata anulomanista chikitsa. So understanding where is the koshta aspect is, how the GI tract is working, annamahasrotas and malavahasrotas, is that mahasrotas is working fine. And now again, why suddenly we are talking about the respiratory thing or the pranavasrotas, and why am I jumping into the mahasrotas? The reason behind that is the root of the pranavasrotas is considered as a rudhayam and mahasrotas also. So these two becomes really important aspect. And Acharya Charaka has clearly mentioned in the Vimanasthana that these are the two roots or the mula of the pranavasrotas. So you cannot escape the whole mahasrotas aspect, and that's why checking the mahasrotas is also very much important. So in the aspect of checking or the clinically assessing, doing the nidana pariksha, you have to definitely understand darshana sparshana prashnahi. And in this, with this trial, we would as I told you, the listening of the, you know, darshana, obviously check for the, if it is a chronic respiratory pranavasrotas problem, then you would see the neck muscles, and it would be, you know, the shallow breathing is happening at that level. If it is in active status, then you could easily listen to the wheezing sound and asking of the prashna. Then it comes the all thing. You will obviously ask about the respiratory aspect, that how many times, and depending upon, many times patient or the rogi doesn't come into the active state. Obviously, it comes and says that, okay, I frequently have the asthmatic attacks. And there your questions really starts As always, normally you would have to ask how many times these attacks, what is the frequency, when it started, does it cause by any particular particular substance. For example, the allergic asthma is very much common in US, and many time people suffer from. Here I would again quote Dr. Raghuramji's answer that, and which he quoted from Charaka, that Acharya Charaka has mentioned about the developing the penis, the, you know, all the upper respiratory issues and the sinus issues even, and then having that postnatal discharge can irritate, and then the whole cycle starts where a rogi suffers from that and then ended up into the whole asthmatic even attack. So those are respiratory or the pranamuha srotas questions are to be definitely asked, and then we have to ask about the mahasrotas. How is the anulomangati, or how is the problem of the bowel movements? Bowel movement action is another crucial, especially I would see in US practice that many time very cophogenic mucus producing food items have been taken, and milk, and that too cold milk or ice cream or cheese or sour cream, all these things really are very intubating to lead to the kapha formation. And then the obviously the the whole action happens is to vitiating the kledaka kapha there, and of course the constipation aspect happens, and the udana is also apana vayu is also obstructed, and these two actually indirectly starts playing role, because we always say that the vata gati becomes the pratiloma, the, you know, the whole apana has to be anulomak, and when it becomes pratilomak, obviously it pushes the udana further up and can create the whole respiratory issues. Here pranagati is in and downward, and that clash starts happening and asthma can further develop. However, at the same time, the dietary management or the dietary aspect is very much important, because kledaka kapha is getting increased there. You know, in the very Sanjaya state I'm talking about, as we know, Samprapti is in the six stages, and the stages of the Samprapti, the first aspect comes into the kledaka kapha Sanjayatva, there the whole problem further starts. So that's how the kapha and the vata both are absolutely involved. So that is the reason why we have to ask these all both the questions in that perspective. So now, after talking about the, you know, this whole aspect of how you would check for the nidana and aspect, if I have to come to the treatment modality, and before that the nidana aspect, nidana as a hetu aspect, definitely three things I would focus on. One is as I said, the dietary aspect, right? The mucus aspect would definitely be there. The second aspect would be the asatmya aspect. Asatmya is, I would consider it here as a allergic. So how do we understand allergies? Allergies are definitely those things which are asatmya to the any that particular rogi, that can trigger the reaction in the body, and that reaction further precipitate more kapha, avalamba kapha, and you know, and that creates again as a reaction to be to that is the whole wheezing aspect, and of course that leads to asthma. Again, here I'm talking only about the tamaka shwasa mostly, because as Dr. Raghuram sir said, that first three are absolutely incurable set, and they happen generally in the last stage of almost of the life. Or maybe they are comes as a arishta lakshanas, where we consider that these three things have come, means it is arishta lakshana. I'm sure you know arishta lakshana is the bad signs which is showing that the departure is coming, and leaving the body aspect is coming. So that's how we don't talk much on those three, and main whole focus becomes to the asthma or the tamakshwasa majorly. So then the third aspect of the tamakshwasa is even the which we consider as the kulotpanya, means new heredity aspect can also be considered. many times that has been seen, it could even come from the in the child aspect. It could precipitate that if some aspect of if there is a history of family or any mainly the father has the asthma, it has been observed that child would develop the asthma also. So that's how I would look it into the Nidana perspective and the asking question perspective or the examination perspective to the asthma. Thank you. Did I miss anything, Dr. Hepar sir? Did I answer your all the questions? I know it was 2-3 things together.
Yeah, no, you covered all the aspects of the questions asked. And then it comes, so we now have like a cardinal features of Tamukhishwasa or asthma, and its overall understanding. When it comes to treatment, before we get into the higher medicines, etc., the Panchakarma and Upakarma therapies are more important. Raghuram sir, I would like to invite you to explain in brief regarding the line of treatment explained for specifically asthma.
Thank you, Heba sir. So before that wonderful elaboration of very good points by Vaidyashla Sharawat madam. So thanks for your valuable inputs and like chronological explanation of some important points. Thank you there, madam. So coming to the treatment aspect. So just before touching on the treatment aspect, Master Charaka has explained Shwasa and Hikka chapters immediately after explaining the Panduroga. It comes immediately after the Panduroga. And also we know that Charaka Samhita, the chapters are chronologically arranged in such a good way that each chapter is related to the previous and also the post context of the chapters. So Panduroga is again a big spectrum. Often it is compared to the anemia. So it's more than anemia. So it covers a wide range of liver disorders and many things. Raktavaha Srotas itself, the entire Raktavaha Srotas itself is involved in the causation of and liver and spleen form the Moola. So they are the roots of the Raktavaha Srotas. It's high time to discuss about them. So it's only, I just wanted to give a small connection between these two chapters. So why Hikka Shwasa? So Hikka and Shwasa, Hikka is hiccup and Shwasa is already what we discussed from the beginning of this session. Both those diseases are explained in the same chapter. So Acharya Charaka also mentions that since the line of treatment, the causes and the line of treatment of both these diseases are same, I will handle them in the similar chapter. So Hikka is also again of different types, Shwasa is different types, two different diseases explained in the same context. The logic is the same, treatment principles apply for both those conditions. And here, Panduroga is considered to be a causal factor or a causative factor for both these diseases. There is interrelationship between Pandu, Hikka, and Shwasa. So here is where, when I may miss out this point at the end, that is why I put it right at the beginning. When your classical Shwasa line of treatment is not working in asthma, you just think about two more things. So one thing already our Raut madam has mentioned, the Annavaha Srotas has to be, the Mahasrotas has to be looked into, and also the Ama factor and where exactly are the blocks in the Mahasrotas, that needs to be considered. After that, you need to look for the Rasavaha and the Pranavaha Srotas and the Manovaha Srotas, all these things also to be looked over. And next, you need to look for any signs and symptoms or the spectrum of Pandu. So that is the Raktavaha Srota Dushti has to be viewed for in case, because here there is a straight correlation. Charaka also tells that Pandu is responsible for these two diseases, and that is why we need to discuss these two diseases, that is Hikka and Shwasa, immediately after the Pandu. I'll read out a small verse from Charaka's Hikka Shwasa right at the beginning. The Tika of, that is the commentary of the first line, tells Pandurogat Vishas Chaiva Pravartate Gadav Imav. So beautiful sentence this. IMAO is these two diseases, which one? Hika and Shwasa are manifested due to Pandu and Visha. This has been mentioned, Pandu and Visha. So Visha means it is poison or the toxins. Nowadays we are speaking about, I think Raut Madam also gave a list of the causative factors. It can be something which is incompatible to your tissue, including your a food which doesn't suit you, or something, some allergens and everything can be considered. So here is a relationship. So when you have used all your weapons in treating the Shwasa and nothing is working out, just even think of Pandu Roga Chikitsa. So Pandu Roga Chikitsa also fits into the treatment of Shwasa. Rudroga Chikitsa fits there. Pranavaha Srotas, the principle of treating Pranavaha Srotas fits there. Principle of treating Manavaha Srotas fits there. Because Di Dhairya Atma Di Vijnanam, those three principles of Manavaha Srotas, the mind, counseling is very much needed in this particular condition, because there is a severe panic, shortage of air, shortage of breath in the entire system. All the systems will be put into a disarray and every cell will be totally confused due to some short of air and other things. So here is where you need to counsel the patient and tell all is well and everything is going to, so we are there, we'll handle it. Okay, so the category of classification into which Shwasa has been put is Yapya. So Ayurveda Acharya tells that it is not a curable disease. It can be managed. It can be managed very well in comparison to the other types of Shwasa. Sa Yapya Tamaka Shwasaha. So that has been said. Tamaka Shwasa is Yapya. That means it is manageable. So throughout the life, once it is diagnosed, it is and once it is treated, the servicing is very important from the patient's perspective. He or she needs to take care that the symptoms don't come back by following a strict regimen of food and also the lifestyle principles. Not be very much conscious about the disease, that the alien is going to come and attack me. Not like that. But they need to, somewhere in the subconscious level, they should know that we have just recovered from a Shwasa episode and we shouldn't suffer from that again. This self-motivation will lead to the recovery, better recovery, because they will start getting cautious. I'm not speaking about the panic factor or the fear factor. I'm speaking about the cautious. Being cautious is different from being in a state of panic. So being cautious is very, very important. So how to be cautious? Sankshepata Kriya Yoga Nidana Parivarjanam. Keep away all the causative factors or the triggers. Asthma is one disease which has triggers apart from causative factors. The same causative factors can be triggers, and triggers are also a separate list of entities which can suddenly flare up. Like a sudden change of season can flare up your asthma episodes. So suddenly there is a heat day, tomorrow it starts storming and raining, and suddenly it becomes cold. That transition period, the person can get an asthma episode. Here is where people should know how to equip themselves for sudden changes and small changes, or a change in food, or a change in climatic conditions, or a change in environment, or wherever they're going, exposure to dust, all this, or pollens, or a paint, or a spider web can also be a trigger. So they need to be very cautious. So nowadays, people have learned to use the masks. So after COVID has taught us to use the mask. So whenever you feel I am in such a place which is alien to me, I don't know what can affect me, better wear a mask, always carry the mask there. So that's preventive. Okay, so from preventive to curative we will come. So both these diseases, Hika and Shwasa, are said to be having their origin from Pittasthana Samudbhava. So that is why Virechana forms the main treatment of Shwasa or Tamaka Shwasa. Having said that, again, Pittasthana, again, it is a digestive, like it has its origin from a digestive place. And also we have seen the link with the liver and spleen, and also the Panduroga. Again, Panduroga is a Pitta Pradhana disease. Liver and spleen are Pitta related diseases and organs. And also the Mahasrotas, as Raut Madam said. So the Pitta is very much active along with Vata there in the digestive process. All these things are interlinked too. So the secret is to tell that Pittasthana Samudbhava is, look at the Pittasthanas first if they are disturbed, and the Virechana is the main treatment. Our students have a habit of telling Tamaketu Virechana. Okay, whenever in the examinations, favorite question, even examiners ask like that. So what is the best treatment in Tamaka Shwasa? Tamaketu Virechana, sir. Happy examiner, full marks given. No, it's not that. There is a principle behind that. behind why Virechana should be given, that has been explained in a verse beautifully by Charaka. That itself is a concept. Okay, we need to know why. See, basically, Virechana may be the best treatment or the best tool, but Virechana is the end treatment also for Shwasa, that we need to remember. It is not the first treatment, it is the last treatment. So it is the Brahmastra which we use at the end. When? After giving Vamana. So when you go through the Charaka also, we can see an elaborate explanation of Vamana and a brief description of somewhere a mention of Virechana. Okay, Pittasthana Samudbhava Virechana, Tamaketu Virechana, after telling that, why there is only a short description of Virechana and an elaborate, like mighty elaborate description of Vamana. That shows Vamana is a very important treatment to begin with, and then to end with, you can go with Virechana. Probably your Shwasa treatment may not complete without giving Virechana, but may not start also without Vamana. So Vamana is a very important tool here. So coming back to the principles, so we need to go analyze Ama, analyze Agni and everything. So just see the Deepana, Pachana part is dealt with, and then the Snehana and Swedana are given. And then the Kapha, so the primary target, as I already said, also Rawat Madam mentioned, the Kapha blocking the Vata. We need to understand the pathogenesis there. Removing the Kapha will be the very important thing. Then the Vata will be released. So that doesn't mean the person is out of problem. That Vata also should be sent in its, it should be pampered and pushed down. Vatanulomana also is required in this condition. So to give, as Heber sir rightly pointed out, the Panchakarma principles that has been emphasized, I feel Master Charaka has such detailing and such chronology of explanation of treatment step-wise after Jwara. It is only in Shwasa. He comes in a very precise chronology, not even giving a scope for Yukti. He gives like liberty to make a choice, but he tells a chronology which is so beautiful. Just if you follow the chronology, it will be enough. Okay. So then what should be done? So Vamana will be the first principle. Aktam Lavana Tailena Nadi Prastara Sankarahi. See why I said stepwise and very detailed explanation. First, the patient should be given an Abhyanga. So the massage should be given to the patient with Lavana Taila. So very important is the oil which is processed with Lavana. Okay. Bruhat Saindavadi Taila and Saindavadi Taila. Everything is available in the market, in the pharmacies. No need of preparing that. Readily available. So just give a massage. And he also tells which Swedana should be used, which sudation or steaming procedure should be used. Nadi, Prastara, Sankara. Given three. Okay, not all three. Whichever is available and feasible for you, and according to the decision of the physician, anyone can be done. So Nadi Sveda, so is the tubular fomentation, which we would have all seen. The steam coming from the tube, and that is just. So that Nadi Sveda is a local Sveda. It can be used only for the chest. General body sedation is not required. When it tells Prastara Sveda, when you feel that symptoms are like generalized and you need a complete body sedation, so then the Prastara Sveda, a stone slab of the length and breadth of the person is prepared. Some herbs which are boiled or put on that stone slab, and the tolerable temperature when we can palpate there, we can just close it, like wrap it with a sterile cloth like a blanket, and allow the patient who has been subjected to Abhyanga to sleep on that, and then cover the body of the person with another blanket. So the person will start sweating. So that is Prastara Sveda. And Sankara Sveda is the Potli Sveda or the Pinda Sveda we know. So that can be generally used. So seeing that it is a chest and also a heart, the place of heart. So when we are giving Swedana on the chest region, we should be very cautious. It should not be like done for a prolonged time period. So that also should be taken care of. After that, then the Vamana should be given. So then the Kapha Utkleshakara Aharas should be given before giving the Vamana. The person should be given on the previous day of the Vamana, the person should be given with such foods like curds, maybe fish, etc. Some foods also have been mentioned by Master Charaka, that should be given to excite the Kapha. The Kapha already after Snehana and Swedana has moved towards the gut. So a small thing what we missed, maybe a question from your end, whether the oral Snehana and Swedana are needed or not. Absolutely they are needed. So you need to give the oral snehana, and also then when we come to the swedana part, after snehana, samyak snigdha lakshana, then when you come to the swedana, then the lavana taila should be applied, and then the swedana should be given here. Lavana taila is a specific choice for the abhyanga. And why to give the snehana for the person? You can already start questioning somewhere. The person is already having a breathing trouble. Again, we are giving some medicated fats inside. So the treatment should be given in the avega avastha, when the person is not having the active phase of the disease. That is the phase where we need to select the patient and give the treatment. Not when the person is having asthma. When the person is having asthma, active episodes, simple remedies like a dhuma, like haridra dhuma, like a turmeric fumes or something. Or as I said, the applying the lavana taila and giving nadi prastara or sankara and some oral medications which can pacify the doshas and handle for time being. Those things should be done. Not the snehapana when the person is having an active asthma episode. So the disease has an intermittent phase, a window phase. So this is asthma and this is asthma. In between, there are asthma free days where the active symptoms are not there. That is a period you are going to choose for giving the snehapana and then carry the vamana and virechana. So now we have given deepana, pachana, then we have given snehapana, and then we have done the abhyanga, we have done the swedana. With the snehana, what happens? The sneha reaches the cells and the tissues, and it gets mixed with the kapha pradana doshas, the kapha dosha and whatever is blocking the in the tissues. So it loosens it, it gets mixed and the cells bulge. When you give swedana, that sweating, abhyanga and swedana, lavana we are using again, the salt based oils. So that is going to help us to open up the channels. And when you give heat, the swollen up cells, whatever doshas and the sneha, that is the sneha which has entered the cell, the cell will start flushing out. So with heat, things open up, the channels open up, and the cells start, the tissues start discharging or flushing out the toxins inside them, the doshas inside them, or the mala inside them. Everything, like with small streams of river, start flowing towards the gut. So all the doshas come and accumulate in your stomach. Then what you do is, you have to give the kapha utklesakara ahara. So that foods which excite kapha and keep the person ready. When you give medicine, the person has to vomit without any complications. Like that, you need to keep ready. On the day of morning, on the morning of the vamana, you have to give the abhyanga and also the swedana with lavana taila and swedana, and then give the vamana medicine. So there is a formulation used, madana phala and other things. There are different formulations which people use according to their choice and also context and also their basic skills of how they have practiced. So if you have your own vamana recipe which you have practiced, that also can be given. Madana phala or randia dimeterum is considered to be the safest emetic. So when you give vamana, the kapha pradana doshas, why I am telling kapha pradana? So because kapha is the main dosha, and a little bit of pitta and other things which are aggravated also can come out of the vamana. Wait for the proper signs of vamana. So once the vamana happens, the kapha is thrown out. What happens is vata is released. So the person who, the entity which enjoys in the system is the vata. Whoa, wow. Vata tells, because the blocks of kapha has been removed and the kapha has been thrown out, I don't have any enemy. Now vata starts its hyperactivity because it was in the jail for so many days. Now that it has got the freedom, it starts moving very freely. So that is also not good. So then we have to tell, please stop there. So we will handle you also. Then pamper vata and give some medicine. So after a proper vamana, immediately what should be given is the dhumapana. So that shouldn't be missed. This chronology has been explained by Charaka in a beautiful way. Dhumapana after vamana is a compulsory paschat karma, that is a post-op procedure to remove the any residual kapha. Even after vamana, some residual kapha may be left over sticking to the srotas. To throw it out, the dhumapana should be given. After dhumapana, you can rest the patient and give samsarjana krama. Samsarjana krama is a graduated dietetic protocol. Okay. So Hebbar sir can paste that link of Samsarjana Krama in our chat box also. So it's available in our Easy Ayurveda as elaborate article, you can read that. So from liquid diet slowly to the semi-solid and also the normal diet. So that is a graduation of diet. We call it as Samsarjana Krama. So because after Vamana or Virechana, Samsarjana Krama is given only after Vamana and Virechana, not other measures of Panchakarma. This is only to bring the Agni back to its normal state. The Agni might have been disturbed after Vamana or Virechana. It would have gone sluggish. Normal diet, definitely the gut is not going to tolerate. So that is why what you are going to do is graduated diet. So once the person has recovered from the episodes, give a time space and then schedule a Vamana course again, Virechana course, and end it up with Virechana. Of course, with a discharge sheet of some medicines which need to be used very regular on the regular basis. And then after Virechana, you can plan Rasayana. Very important is Rasayana. So to see that the episodes don't come back. After taking Rasayana, there is no surety that the episodes will not come back, as long as the Nidanas are kept away. Nidana Parivarjana throughout the life is mandatory principle. The triggers, the causative factors, keep them away. Keep taking regular medications. Keep taking Rasayana. Do take good care of yourself. Adjust yourself seasonally. And if you get any problem in between, this is my number. Please contact. We will try to help you. Okay. So probably you may ask the patient whether you have symptoms or not. Next year you can come, or after 6 months you can come for a follow-up. So that you can sit face to face and speak. And if needed, you can, if there are some more symptoms, you can go with a follow-up. So these things should be scheduled at the discharge time of the patient. Again, as I said, there is a different protocol for the Kaphadika and also the Vatadika type of Shwasas. So in Kapha is predominant, you can give vigorous treatment, like aggressive treatments like Vamana to Dhumapana, what we have discussed. And if it is Vata Pradhana, and if the patient is thin and also debilitated and Vata predominance, these guys can also have Shwasa, but they don't fit into the category of Vamana or Virechana. For them, some small nourishing therapies, Santarpana. So the nourishing therapies or the supportive treatment, the medicines, the Mamsarasa, that is the meat soup, those who can are non-vegetarian people. So with the Shwasahara medicines, the medicines used for Shwasa can be used to process the Mamsarasa. If the person is not taking Mamsarasa, then Yusha can be given, the soups and other things which are nourishing in nature, prepared with a little bit of ghee and other things, disease palliative medicines. So herbs can be used to process the Yusha or the Mamsarasa. Depending on the vegetarian and non-vegetarian category, you can give those therapies. And very importantly, in Vata Pradhana, or when Vata is predominant in the Shwasa, it is very important to give the Santarpana Chikitsa, or also nourishing and also the palliative and the supportive type of treatment is very much essential. And don't forget to focus on the mind and counsel the patient very often. So because it may be a very panic state, Shwasa, and Ayurveda also tells that there are no other diseases in the world which can trouble the person as much as Shwasa and Teka. So they can be life-threatening. So we need to take care of that also. Over to you, Hebar sir.
Thank you, sir. Going through the explanation of, going through certain questions that were asked, asthmatic children are a growing concern. So guidelines to bring up an asthmatic child, it may not be only about treating the disease, helping the child to cope up with asthma, and also living with asthma, how to control, how to anticipate triggering factors, breathing techniques, pranayama, like avoiding mouth breathing, and avoiding excessive junk foods, sweets, oily foods. There are many lifestyle related and diet related things that we can do in a child so that asthma attacks can be reduced to a great extent, right, ma'am?
Yes. So rightly said, Dr. Hebbar sir, that nidana or the hetu are always be considered at the three level also, right? That mainly it is a diet aspect or lifestyle aspect, or again the any heredity aspect. So dietary aspect, specifically in asthma, this has been mentioned very nicely, that it has to be nice, ushna gunadravyas should be there, and again red variety of rice is being considered that considered as a pathya. Very nicely, pathya and apathya is being given. So when you say apathya, of course, it's not to be given. In short, we can say that. And all the abhishandi padarthas, all the abhishandi foods, so meaning of abhishandi, which would create the instantaneously mucus formation, such as the yogurt or the fish or any kind of a fermented food specifically mentioned, should be avoided. At the same time, what should be more intended is you have written barley, and yes, barley is the one of the good, great thing. Another wonderful thing has been mentioned as the horse gram or the kulitha, which is also very good. And along with that, even the laguela, which is a smaller cardamom, that is also been mentioned, a good aspect. So maybe if the patient has to, if the rogi has to drink milk, maybe putting the small cardamom into that can be helpful. We are talking about the child, that's what I'm saying. And typically, otherwise, really try to avoid all other mucus generating food or keep them away from the fermented food specifically. That would actually really help more. Or as I said, give maybe sometime the kulatha, kulathakwatha yusha, which means the horse gram soup, or maybe having the barley in the diet, as well as young radishes are also very, very good to have that. So this is how the dietary aspect would take care. Now coming to the lifestyle change aspect, I think the Gurams are already mentioned that wherever the, you know, identifying if there is a too much of smoke, or if the too much of this other aspect of allergen, then avoid that. The best thing which I always tell my clients and my rogis that they should be doing, especially in the case of young kids. We do have many time here pollen allergies, a lot more seen. The simple thing we could do is literally put the pinky, the small finger into the ghee, and then apply that inside the nostril, and then go out, whenever go out. So in that way, not just breathe, not to breathe from the mouth, but the real aspect of breathing through the nose and then catching those all pollens there itself would help. So that is the one important aspect I would suggest. Another very important aspect I want to tell you in the whole aspect asthmatic process for the young as well as adult, what happens is the constriction of bronchial trees, correct? And that causes the kind of a fear where the client, the rogi, kind of breathes a lot, but does not really necessarily exhale properly. So the exhalation is another problem, and that's why doing the Vasrika would really help, where it is a strong inhalation and at the same time strong exhalation. So encouraging the rogi to do this type of Vasrika pranayama would really help to enhance the whole lung capacity. See, lung capacity is the most important aspect also, because that is the sthana, right, or the seat of this whole asana. So that's why lung capacity can be increased this way. Or the other thing which we say, that prolonged exhalation can be done as a omkara, taking the inhaling and exhaling long om could also help specifically with the kids. I mean, if you develop since then, that way it will be helpful. And along with that, as Raghuram sir was constantly mentioning about the manasik aspect, manobhava, because obviously it is frightening that you are losing the breath, and breath is considered to be life. And that way, losing the breath can create this manasik or the fear aspect, which has to be always. Ashwasak chikitsa is really important there, and instantaneously providing the stuff. So all these things about how do we raise the kids with the asthma. I want to talk one more thing, if I have one more minute here, Dr. Dipasharu. So that is, lot of kids and see, they have to be on the inhalers, or they commonly being prescribed by the inhalers. And the problem with inhalers that they cause pretty much the oral health has been a really problem there. Now, how do you, what do you recommend to them, or how do we really give them aspect? Because they are, you know, at least in US, we don't stop whatever the medical doctor have been given the treatment. And they, if they are on that, you must take care of them while raising them to see whether there is any aspect of gum irritation, or if there is any swelling, or many times they suffer from the lot of dental caries. And this happens because that corticosteroid inhalers can lead to these things. This, as you know, that it really suppresses your immune system. And as an aspect of that, thrush can be developed on the tongue. Thrush is a fungal infection, which we call it as a, you know, on the tongue when some, it is a ama, of course, and it is a, but it's a very specific whiteness on the tongue. And that has to be checked. The dry mouth has to be checked. And that has to be avoided. Now, how do you do that? So the kids with asthma should be considered, I mean, if they are already on the inhalers, as an Ayurvedic practitioner, your job would be to check the teeth, check the gums, check the tongue, and check the whole mouth. So dental health would really help their checking, at least. And what can you provide? So the simplest provision could be done as the using of a danta manjan, more, not for the teeth, but more for the massaging gums. And you know, you can prepare yourself something, or the simplest way I could recommend is the trifala. At least rub the trifala at least on the gum, enhance to do the more cleansing, tongue scraping, very, very important. And also I would suggest that doing the gandusha with certain kwathas would really improve the, in general, whole activity of the mouth health. So that could be something. If people are taking of the, you know, the rogi is already on the inhalers, what you could do as the Ayurvedic practitioner, this is something I would recommend. This is the aspect of preventative, you know, as a disease, somebody is already taking the medication and then something is happening, then you could do this. Or another treatment aspect wise, as Dr. Raghuram sir said, that, you know, treatment has to be done in that window also, that in between the attacks, whatever the time is there, that time you can do. And he also mentioned about the rasayan chikitsa, specifically for the kids, we cannot necessarily do the panchakarma, and there the vardhaman pippali, or the at least saushashta pippali, which is which can be given in a very small dose and can be seen given a very good effect. So the pippali is something I would recommend as a, because pippali is a rasayan as well. And with kids, we can absolutely do without doing the panchakarma. We can still give as the treatment modality. Thank you. Over to you, Dr. Nipal sir.
Thank you, Vaidya Sushiji.
Dr. I want to answer the one another question. I think yes, Shilpa yes. has mentioned that. It's a very good question. Can we go on that? That is, I think, the first question.
Yes, please.
Yeah, so this is a very interesting thing what she's mentioning, and that after childbirth, the oxygen kind of dropped down. And that's how, and the sleeping, she was laying down, become the very impossible. So I would like to, I mean, this reminds me to one very important phenomena which we miss, that it has been observed with this whole thing, that the childhood asthma or the young, at the young stage, asthma happens many times in the male patients. And then the female patients are many times observed into the later aspect of asthma. And I think she's because of this, I mean, why this relation, if Ayurvedic perspective, we could see that why this could be the problem. The you know, we already talked about that the asthma is considered the kaphogenic activity, and that's how the, in the kapha stage of the life, right, the childhood asthma will happen. But the pit, you know, the later stage of where the asthma develops is more of the pitta aspect of asthma. And why it happens with the female, because artha vaha srotra, or the artha itself is considered the pitta janika. I'm trying to put and connect these dots here. And if that you would understand that it could be related, obviously, when the Artava Vastrutas, childbirth is a whole process of Artava Vastrutas, correct? So the female giving a birth, definitely the hormonal activity strongly changes there, and the prakshobha of pitta can happen, and that could sometime lead to the, and this could be not necessarily common thing, but there where possibility of the prakshobha of the, you know, and which manifested into the breathlessness, because maybe even if she is not asthmatic, it could still precipitate where the weak dhatu is there, or the weak avayava, or the weak lungs maybe have been weak, or somehow that's why the precipitation could happen. So that's what could be the answer, that why suddenly after childbirth this could have happened, according to the Ayurvedic perspective. Typically the treatment, whatever the treatment was given that time, again, not necessarily, but need, this is important that you are not simply giving the breathlessness action. Of course, that could be given, but other aspect of anuloma should have been given more, because this is again the activity of apana, correct? The whole childbirth is apana aspect, and that apana, if I think the bastis would have helped more, maybe to give the relief. I mean, she would have tried that time. This is a very interesting, however, it's a very interesting case. You can temporarily work with the relieving the breathing aspect, but the root cause could have been anuloma chikitsa. Thank you. Dr. Edward, sir.
Yeah, I mean, this seems to be a very unique case. The soon after childbirth, vata dosha is aggravated, immunity is sort of compromised, agni is also very low. Probably a cocktail of favorable conditions has triggered this. And one thing is that, you know, of course, there are many many like Shwasa-specific, asthma-specific medicines in the market. It's not always wise to say, rely on just like, it is asthma, so let me give asthma medicines. I mean, we get around numerous hundreds of queries via WhatsApp through the website. Like, I have asthma, dash medicine cure it. Or I have asthma, dash medicine can be taken for, how long can I take to cure it? It's not like shooting the problem with a precise medicine, it's taking a holistic approach. And I mean, to add to the anuloma vasijikasa and all, probably long-term rasayana, maybe the chaumprash or even agastya rasayana could have helped, of course, with agni deepana and other things taken into consideration. And we're running out of time, so let me take one last question before we end it. I will line up the rest of the questions for the future, this one. Which medicines trigger asthma? Many of the allopathic antihypertensive medicines, AAC inhibitors, and beta blockers are mentioned. And even NSAIDs, so what we call it as painkillers, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, including ibuprofen, can be a significant factor. That's why, of course, in the pain management, simply taking a brufen or any ibuprofen or paracetamol would help. We should be careful not to overuse this or any medicine, even ayurvedic or allopathic also. Considering like Ayurvedic medicines which can trigger it, any medicine which is severely cold in potency, not recommended, Shitavirya, like excessively sweet medicines. There are medicines which are not directly indicated in asthma. If they are taken, that can trigger. Even a standard medicine used in respiratory conditions like Kushmanda Avaleha, because it is heavy in nature can also trigger. So, Raghuram sir, any other specific set of medicines to be avoided in terms of Ayurveda for asthma?
Basically, Hebar sir, Sneha. So, like oil-based and ghee-based medications can definitely trigger, and in the presence of ama. So, we should see all these diseases are rightly pointed out by Rawat Madam right at the beginning of our session, that Mahasrotas need to be looked into. If there are symptoms of ama and if the medicines should be, the ama should be addressed initially. In the presence of ama and also active symptoms of shwasa, if Sneha Pradhana medicines are given, because maybe some grutas or something, something mixed in gruta and taken, so suddenly it may trigger the symptoms of asthma. Otherwise, even giving a vamana or virechana without analyzing vamana or virechana medicine, especially the like laxatives or even avipati churna or trifala or something in the presence of ama in asthma, so that can also worsen. So when the kaphadikya is there, when we try to push it down forcibly, so that may worsen the conditions. Other than that, I don't think if there are disease specific medicines, I think Ayurveda medicines will best suit. So whichever are disease specific and dosha specific, if dosha is identified, ama is ruled out, and if vyadhi pratyanika or disease specific medicines of shwasa are given, there shouldn't be any trouble.
Okay, so that brings us to
the and even nasya, I think putting something into the nose at the time of having shwasa, so I don't think it really works. One more point, Hebar sir, before we end, wrap up the session. Very interesting point made by Rawat Madam was kulatta, use of kulatta in. So this is only for our wonderful participants. So an added information: kulatta can definitely be a game changer in asthma when included as a part of diet. Added context is in the third pada, I suppose, of rasayana. Shilajitu Rasayana, while explaining Shilajitu Rasayana, Master Charaka gives a contraindication, like while giving Shilajitu Rasayana, he tells Shilajitu can cure a wide spectrum of diseases. There are no diseases which Shilajitu cannot cure, but be careful that you don't give anything which is prepared out of horse cram or kulatta while giving Shilajitu and Shilajitu medicines. So that is because horse cram has, the kulatta has the capacity to break the stone into pieces. So here Shilajitu is a rasayana which is derived from the mountains, different mountains, and it is in the form of a stone. And that is why horse cram can be totally contradictory to Shilajitu. It can be an antagonistic to its medicinal properties. Why I said this is kulatta kulatta in tamakashwasa, where there is a block by kapha, and the kapha has consolidified or solidified, so like thick, stubborn mucus plugs which are not coming out. If kulatta can break a stone, if kulatta can break Shilajitu, it can definitely break the stubborn kapha, the kapha plugs, the mucus plugs into pieces and throw them out. So definitely for all the patients of shwasa, this should be a compulsory inclusion in the diet. A kulatta or kulatta yusha can definitely be a game changer if it is a part of the diet. And one more thing Rawat Madam mentioned was pippali, that is the long pepper or piper longum. Definitely one of the big game changers, the pippali rasayana or the vardhamana pippali rasayana, as she mentioned in pediatrics. And also in adults, it can be definitely. Pediatrics, yes, because in the kshirapa avastha and kshira annada avastha, so when the child is taking only milk and milk with food, the initial two stages of the child, and pippali, for pippali, anything pippali and pippali rasayanas, the best sahapana or anupana is the milk. For adults, you cannot insist drink so much of milk with pippali rasayana. For child, you need not insist. The child is anyhow taking the milk and also the madhura pradhana ahara, so which are very good and which is very much mandatory while taking the pippali rasayanas. Very valid inputs, madam. Thank you for those inputs. Thank you. Over to you, Hebar sir.
Okay. Thank you. That brings us to the end of the session. See you in the next session on Gurukula coming up this Wednesday. Thank you all the students, and on behalf of all of our students, my words of gratitude to Vaidya Rao ji and Raghuram sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.